is the beginning of side two. Okay. Do you remember how you preserved those napalm?
Well, we made jelly out of them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we moved to Florida in 1918, the farm that we lived on had several, you know, just ponds, flat ponded places, and then a lime sink and such places as that had the mayhaw bushes growing around them. So, and they get ripe in latter part of April or the 1st of May. I guess that's the reason they're called mayhaws, because they usually get ripe in May. And we would go and shake them down, you know, on the ground and pick them up. Or we got to where we would carry an old sheet or something of that kind, old blanket or something, and spread on the ground before we shook the trees and gather them up like that. Of course, they're always trashy, and the trash had to be picked out. But then we would wash them and put them in a pot with water to them and boil them, you know, until they were soft, and then squeeze the juice out. And we used what we called a jelly bag, you know, for doing it, and we used a flour sack. It was a kind of an open, you know, material that the juice would squeeze through. And then when the juice was squeezed, the way Mama used to make it before we knew of such things as Certo and Sure Gel and such as that, she would just put it on, you know, and cook it to the consistency that she wanted. It had enough acid or pectin or whatever you call them in themselves to gel instead of making a candy or something like that. For years now, we have been using Sure Gel and Certo and bought pectin products. I still make mayhaw jelly when I can get the mayhaws, mm-hmm. but I don't go to the ponds and gather them like I used to.
So they grow around here?
Yes. Awesome. In the river sloughs particularly. And then there are some ponds, you know, flat places where the mayhaw trees grow. And another thing that grew wild that we canned a whole lot of was blueberries and blackberries. Of course, now you know they have the cultivated blueberries, but we went to the woods, you know, and picked them and canned blueberries and blackberries. They just grew on the farm, whether you wanted them to or not. The briars grew there. And most of the time, my father would have, you know, a few acres that he didn't cultivate every year, and it would give long enough, you know, for the briar bushes to get old enough and large enough, you know, to bear, make good big berries.
Right.
So we had them, you know, right at home. These were things that were just growing that we just went out and got and took care of and helped to feed ourselves with.
You mentioned that your father had a sugar mill mm-hmm. at the farm. Did you help with that ever?
Yes, I've helped to feed the mill, strip the cane, cut the, no, I didn't very often help cut the cane down, but I'd help to strip it. Have you ever seen sugar cane growing?
Yes, I have.
He had a tool, I don't know what he called it, but it was made of kind of sharp metal strips fastened on the handle would be about this thick, you know, and there'd be one a strip on each side of that, and you put that at the top of the stalk of sugarcane and bring it down, and it stripped off the blades, the leaves, the blades. And as I said, I've helped to strip it and load it onto the wagon and carry it to the mill and feed the mill and help to cook the syrup and skim it when it's being cooked, skim off the scum that rises on it, and then bottle it when the syrup is made. Yes, I've had a hand in all of it, every bit of it. And the sugar mill was still standing out on my at my home place where my younger brother lives a few years ago, but I believe that he said that somebody wanted, he has gotten it or let somebody else have it. I don't believe it's there now.
Is that here in Florida?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Oh, right out here about 5 miles. But I don't much believe it is there. But now I know somebody that does have one, and they have a cane grinding every year. And the family in particular comes back, and they have a lot of visitors that go and visit them, and that is P.K. and Annie Sue Rowell. She was a Huey, and I think it was the Huey Farms, and P.K. just married her, and so they are now living there, and they have the cane grindings every year, and family get-togethers, and then visitors to come in and see how it used to be done.
Do you know when that is?
I believe it's usually Thanksgiving week, along about Thanksgiving time.
How do you spell their last name?
Rowell. And it is out just a little ways from Madison, I believe, on the probably northwest of Madison, not too many miles, not too far away. I was trying to think if there was something else that, another thing that has been of interest to a good many people was my father operated a blacksmith shop. He had a shop of his own. And he had the old bellows that, you know, that you'd put the coals in, and made his own coal, by the way. And it was a handle up here, you know, a hook to the old bellows thing, you know, that you pull on that handle and blew the flame in there that heated up the coals, kept the coals hot, and to heat up the metal for, you know, making his plows, shaping them like he wanted them. And I really don't know what all kind of metalwork he did do, but I know most of the time he worked on his own plows and for other people. They wanted them shaped and sharpened and all this stuff. And so he had the vise and the forge with the bellows and his anvil and hammers and chisels and drawing knife and saws and all that type of thing.
Where was his shop?
Right up here on our old home place, about, as I said, about 5 miles out here.
Is that still out there?
No. No, I'm pretty sure it isn't. The brother that lives there now is in the hog and cow business, and I believe that he moved the tools out and used that shelter for some of his hogs, you know, until the shelter is probably gone now. I'm not sure.
What's your brother's name?
Calvin. Calvin Gaston. Now, since I'm thinking of it, there may be a cane mill right out there in the area where Calvin lives now. A cousin of ours, Lamar Gaston, ground cane up until just a few years before his death. And I am not sure but what his cane mill is still standing out there. I believe that Calvin ground cane there a year or two after Lamar's death. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if there's not a cane mill still standing in the area out there.
Do you remember any of the remedies that your mother used in healing any of you in the family who may have been sick with different types of diseases from your childhood?
I really don't, except for when anyone was even suspected of having the measles, you know, and they wouldn't break out, or the chicken pox and they wouldn't break out, anything like that. She would give us sassafras tea. And home remedies, I just don't remember too much about. For a bite or a sting, you know, a wasp bite a sting or an ant bite or something like that. My dad chewed tobacco, and take a wad of his where he'd chewed the tobacco, and put that on it, you know, just rub it on it, and the tobacco, I guess, had the soothing, cooling and healing effect. And there was one little plant that grew wild out in the yard that Mama would use sometimes when we first began to take ground itch, when she would see, you know, the little bump where, I don't know whether you know anything about ground itch or not, but it was caused from hookworms, really. And she would put it on that, but I can't describe the plant, and I don't know the name of it, but I just know that it was something, I guess, that had been handed down to her. But treating us at home with bought remedies, my dad used quinine. He would, cough, or, you know, if with eight of us, you know, at home, a whole lot of the time, somebody was coughing it all the time. And so he would take a quill, you know, a reed or straw quill, feather quill or a reed or something like that, and stick it down into the powdered quinine and blow it into our throats, you know, right in down into the throat. It wasn't in the mouth, you know, as bitter as quinine is, but he would just blow it right into the throat. And you better believe that we didn't cough if we didn't have to.
Was it your father who always did that, or did you?
He did that. Yeah, he did that. Well, now he might have her to help him with it sometimes, but I can particularly remember, you know, that was his remedy, and probably the coughing bothered him worse than it did her. So he was more anxious to put an end to it. I know that there are probably other things, but I can't think of anything now.
Well,
Randall chose. the one with the poorest memory. Now, my sister that lives down right down here remembers a whole lot of things, you know, from our childhood that I don't remember, even though she's just a year and 3 months older than I am. She remembers a lot more than I do.
Well, I believe that's all I have to ask you today. I wanted to make sure that you understand that the tape will be placed in the Folklife Archive over at the Stephen Foster Center, where our program is located. And if that's okay with you that we put it there, I'd like for you to sign a release form that we have, and I'll let you read it here.
Do you have the time to play it back and let me hear it now?
Oh, sure. Is it okay that you sign the release form?
Okay. Yeah, when I hear it.
Okay.